All right, guys. Yeah, this is just a quick tag at the top. A couple of updates for you that we couldn't explain or didn't know when we recorded this bonus episode. First of all, to make it very clear, Angel from Angel's Secret Solutions and Angel's Fellatio Secrets, who you heard an interview with on the last episode, episode 104. There was some confusion as to what her Twitter handle is. And in the episode you're about to hear, we give you the wrong Twitter handle for her because apparently she didn't know what her Twitter handle was. But now we know what it is, and it is at Angels Secrets and the number 2. That's Angels with an S, Secrets with an S, 2, okay? So if you want to send her a tweet, that'd be great. I think you should. She was absolutely fantastic. If you didn't hear the last episode, it's on there. Now, when you hear this episode, we play a little bit of the interview that didn't play in the last one, and you'll hear us refer to the incorrect Twitter handle. I think she even says it on there. So don't pay attention to it. It is Angels Secrets 2. Next bit of news is a huge thank you, even though you'll also hear that on here. A huge thank you to all of you who were so nice and positive and generous after you heard the story of our dog, Theo, and what we've been going through with him. And we just really appreciate all the orders you've placed and the donations. It's really cool that is what's going on with our little awesome community of listeners. Another bummer of news is that we were very excited that Top Dog and Charo were coming out for this holiday weekend, and they were going to do the podcast. And yesterday in the afternoon, they called to cancel the trip. And the reason, believe it or not, is because one of their 4 dogs is very sick. And they had to take him to get IVs. And he's an older dog. And they have to take him again tomorrow. And so dog health and awfulness with regards to it is big in the Segura bloodline right now. And yeah, so pray for them and their beagle, Rocket. He's not doing so well. Sweet, sweet dog. But anyways, they rescheduled. They're now coming in May. We will do the episode with them then. And yeah, so I think that's it. Oh, I think I forgot to mention that I added Austin. I'm coming to Austin in May. I think it is the 8th. Is that right? Yeah, 8th through the 11th. So Austin, Texas, I haven't been back there in actually like 5 years, and I'm very excited about it. So that's that. I think I covered everything. Angel, my parents, a big thank you, and I hope you enjoy this extra bonus episodes, 2 episodes this week, and hopefully you'll be hearing a lot more of this, the multiple episodes a week thing. Okay, I'm sorry this has gone on that long. Bye-bye, I love you. How much did you like it?
You can play something else.
Jesus. Why did that stop right when you said that?
I don't know, but it sounded kind of gothy, which is why I liked it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
All right.
I like it. Oh, it's very... Phil Collins? I want to say Janis. Wow.
I feel like we should be like oiling each other up or something.
Okay. All right.
All right. Is that comfortable?
Very sensual.
Oh, how are you? Are you good?
Sounds
good. Loud? Less?
It sounds good.
Okay.
Kenny G.
Are you? Are you good? Ears?
Oh, yeah.
Cans? Okay. All right. Cans? I mean, your tits?
Oh.
I got this shit all day.
Grow up.
Jazz music from a computer.
Hey, 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 hey. Play
All right, where are you gonna be, yo?
Well, hold on, I'm pulling mine up. You go first.
Okay, well, check it out.
Check it out, y'all.
We're coming at you again with an extra special episode. But as always, we'll let you know where we're going to be first. I'll be in Cincinnati. Go Bananas, April 4 through 7. Vancouver, the Comedy Mix, April 11 through 13. San Jose, the Improv, April 18 through 21. And Orlando, the Improv, 24 through 28. This is another big one. I have to keep going, even though this is starting to sound ridiculous. Toronto, I'm coming to the Underground Comedy Club. You been there?
No, but I just heard about this place.
Dope,
it's
right?
Awesome.
Everybody says that it's so great. Duncan Trussell just did it. Sarah Tiana just did it. I heard her weekend was great.
She had told me she had a blast.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So I will be there May 2nd through the 4th. I know they told me that already a lot of tickets have been sold. I hope you guys come and fill it up because that will be a blast. And the 17th and 18th of May, Christine and I are going out together. Portland on the 17th, Seattle on the 18th. It's just the two of us. You guys have been scooping up those tickets, so please fill this joint up. You can get tickets at yourmomshousepodcast.com. And also, if you're on my site, tomsegura.com, I have the links there. And that is that. Christina?
All right, guys. Pull your jeans up in Denver. I'm coming to the Denver Improv April 11th through 14th. After that, Crackers Comedy Club in Indy, the downtown one, which is actually my favorite. Don't tell Crackers that. April 17th through 20th. And then Cleveland Improv, May 9th through 12th. But check your mommies out May 17th and 18th. That's really where my heart's at right now.
It's going to be amazing.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
You know what I'm saying, dog?
Yeah. What about you?
April 6th, I'm in Indianapolis, Indiana, opening up for the great Joe Rogan.
Who's
what?
That?
Yeah, he's this guy from television and things like that. He's really, really funny.
Yeah.
I'm always in Los Angeles, but I'm at the Comedy Juice in Pasadena on the 11th.
And check that shit out.
That's a good one.
Irvine Improv for Comedy Juice on April 23rd. And the last weekend of May, I'm in La Jolla with Sarah Tiana. And the first weekend in June, I'm in La Jolla with Sam Tripoli. Back-to-back weekends in La Jolla.
Dude.
What you doing?
One of my favorite comedy clubs.
Well, it's a nice place. The Comedy Store in La Jolla, correct?
Yes.
People don't even know who's saying their dates
doesn't
right
matter.
Now. But doesn't even matter. We'll get to that.
Right. Hey, you just have to guess and trust.
Trust your ears, everybody. Look, we're so happy that you're listening with us. This very special episode of Your Mom's House is brought to you by Sherry's Berries.
Sup, Sherry?
Aren't you happy that it's finally spring? Better weather, sunshine, just puts you in a good mood.
Ah, the best.
It's like when you get an unexpected gift. All of a sudden, you feel great.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing better than being surprised. Make someone you love feel great. Here's what you can do. You can send them giant dipped strawberries from Sherry's Berries for only $19.99. That's a 40% savings.
Go
berries.com. That's berries.com. Click on the microphone and type in Mom's House. That's MOMSHOUSE. For our listeners, you can double the berries. That's all kinds of extra berries.
Oh.
For just $10 more. Listen, we've bought these before.
They're so good.
And they also win people over. Here's the thing. Do you need to take advantage of somebody soon? Do you need to manipulate somebody in your life? A good way to do that is with Sherry's Berries.
Yeah.
Because they're enormous, juicy, chocolate-covered berries.
Mm-hmm.
And they're dipped in white chocolate, milk chocolate, dark chocolate. And it's the kind of thing people are like, did you spend $100,000
right.
on this? No. No, I didn't. I went through your mom's house offer, $19.99. And now you're going to sleep with me because I got you berries.
Right.
Or the neighbor, and they'll pull your trash can in when you're not
in
town because you're flying in from Peoria and you can't do it. They'll do it for you because they know they got some berries.
They'll bundle your mail up and they'll
be
like, hey, all this mail came, you weren't here, but guess what? I remember the berries you got me. Right. I put it in a little pouch for you.
A little bribery.
Everybody loves berries so much.
Chocolate covered ones.
And you mix chocolate into the mix, it's like the perfect gift for anybody.
And it's you think it's just for staying at the Ritz-Carlton, but you can enjoy this for $19.99. I mean, it's a good deal.
Yeah. You get a lot of berries. You can get buried in berries.
Oh,
this guy's
good.
This
is why he's here.
Here's the only way to get the special $19.99 Sherry's Berries offer. Go to berries.com, berries. Click on the microphone in the top of the right-hand corner. Type in Mom's House. You have to see this for yourself. Barry's.com, type in Mom's House. Don't wait. Order now. Tony, what did you think of that offer?
Now I'm in the mood for some Sherry's Berries.
Yeah.
We just won you over. If you haven't guessed by now, our guest today is the very talented and very thin and wonderfully handsome Tony.
Yeah,
Hinchcliffe.
All right, Tony, you made it.
Thank you. So good to be here.
Wait, where did you get your jacket, first of all?
Yeah, I noticed.
This is a special Star Wars and Adidas came together, and I got it on Amazon.
Wow, funny you should mention, because Amazon is also one of our sponsors. And if you go to yourmomshousepodcast.com and click on the banner, you can buy that jacket, and it gives a little kickback to the show.
Wow.
If you love the show, it's pretty much a thing you should do automatically.
Well, I just ordered berries on my phone while you were talking.
Are you serious? Oh.
Yeah.
Did you put in the code word Mom's House?
Yeah. I got them for myself, though.
Hey, man.
Okay.
Why should you treat other people better than you treat yourself? That's what I always say.
Yes.
That's a good thought.
Yeah. Get them for yourself. Why are we even plugging other people?
I don't know.
He just made a whole bunch more sense.
Plugging Tony.
Are you ready to start the show?
Yes.
This is our pre-show.
I love it. This is exciting.
Let's start the show.
Okay.
Jeans up and wiped down and brown talking. Retarded and fill her up and seal her shut and dental updates. And Ong seriously something. We're the dudes at
this shit is big time.
Who is Randy?
Don't bring anyone mother to this.
Your mom in the fucking stand!
Welcome to Your Mom's House with Tom Segura, and
Christina Pajitsky.
Welcome to Your Mom's House.
You know what that was?
That was you reading?
No, that was not me reading.
You have trouble sounding out the words the same way she does. Right, Tony, high five.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
You guys, that's not cool at all.
Who was that? It was really cute.
A listener sent in a video of their daughter reading our list shirt. So we have a shirt that has sayings from the show. And so they wore it and they videoed their daughter reading it. And that's what she was like, retarded.
That was my favorite one. And she goes, where are the... There goes our dog.
Why does he only do that when we're doing the show? He didn't do that all day.
All night and all day. And now he starts with that awful retching sound.
All right.
He's done. He's on my shoes, so that's fine.
Okay. He'll do it again as soon as we need a moment. So just to catch up everybody on what's going on, we told you all about Theo's story the other day, and I really appreciate... we appreciate the outpouring of love and support and that everybody has sent us after we told you his story and we told them about our astronomical hospital bill that we have for him now. Mm-hmm. So we've been pleading with people
ridiculous.
To order from the store to help us pay it off.
This
because
dog is worth so much money
thousands
right now.
This was a $150 adoption dog that is now a car. He is a Honda Civic.
Wow.
I know. We have a tax bill, too. We're like, well, maybe we should sell our dog. He's worth a few thousand.
So anyways, but I really want to thank you for all the nice things that you guys
James.
Have said and for ordering your stuff. It really helps out. Now, this arrangement of having Tony here first tickled my beanbag when we did a Death Squad run together. When was that? September? Something like that?
I think so. It was a while ago.
And I met, you had friends and family, and your mother, your sweet, sweet mother, mm-hmm. was at the show, and you mentioned during, I don't know, when we were just walking around, that your mother used to do what?
She used to make money, she used to run numbers, which is basically racketeering. Yeah.
Wow.
And pretty intense.
First of all, you have to... It doesn't even add up to how amazing this is until you see his mother. His mother's not the type of lady you're like, I bet that lady's fucking
in organized
up.
Crime right now.
No, she looks like she just made cupcakes.
Yes.
You're kidding.
She's the nicest.
Yes.
Is she blonde? Yeah. Oh.
She does have light hair. Yes.
Light hair. And blue eyes like you, like stunning Aryan good looks or what?
Yeah. She's pretty cool.
Are they Italians?
Yep.
Oh. And no. Where did this take place when you were growing up?
This is a fascinating thing.
Okay, all right.
Tony told me about this at first. I didn't know this. I mentioned it to other people, and they looked at me. They're like, yeah, are you a fucking idiot? You didn't know that? That one of the big mafia strongholds in the United States was Youngstown, Ohio.
Yeah, it's a central meeting place between Chicago and New York. It's right in the middle. So like Al Capone set up camp there and all these other big time mafia people did, because then this way they could go to either Chicago or New York, because, you know, they didn't have like Twitter and stuff back then. Right. So they weren't, you know, there wasn't all this connection. So they'd have to go to a place. So it was easier for them to just set up camp in Youngstown. So it became a huge stronghold. I mean, it was like New York, Chicago, and then Youngstown. You can hear it mentioned in Goodfellas and The Sopranos. Like if you listen closely.
They mention Youngstown.
It's in there. It's not like, you know, it's not the big city that they talk about. But, you know, they say like, oh, you know, Philly Leotardo's up in Youngstown State Pen. You know,
really?
You just hear things like that. It's very subtle, but
not to take away from that, but I just found out this weekend that Wu-Tang has offices in Steubenville, Ohio.
Oh. Wow.
Mm-hmm. Similar.
I wore my Wu-Tang sweatshirt. Did I tell you this? And the guy, the bartender was like, at a nice hotel, I walk into the bar. He goes, Wu-Tang Clan ain't nothing to fuck with, huh? And I was like, right. I was like, all right. He goes, you from Manhattan? And I was like, no, man, I came to get a drink. And he's like, you from Steubenville? And I was like, excuse me? Because I thought he was referencing like the rape case.
Right.
And I was like, what? And you don't know Wu-Tang all over Steubenville? And I was like, all right, no. What? Now tell me. He said when the economy took a dump, even I think before the 08 crash, I guess Steubenville had been through its tough times. Mm-hmm. They came through and bought buildings and set up their corporate offices there.
Wow.
So that's where they have like engineering and recording studios.
Oh, I didn't know that.
That is very shocking. I mean, Steubenville might be like the 15th. At the most, it's the 15th most populated city in Ohio. Like, it's not even...
Well, it sounded weird. And if this guy was bullshitting me, I don't know why he would. But somebody look into this for it. I'm sure somebody already has. Just send us some info on Wu-Tang in Steubenville.
Well, that and the Amish Mafia. I don't know if you've been watching, but there's a lot in Ohio.
That would be a great album.
The Amish Mafia?
With Wu-Tang Clan,
that would be a stellar album.
Yeah, that would be really
Let's
great.
Let's get the band together.
So, okay, you told me this also, that I meet your sweet, sweet mother, and your father is like a real fucking Guido.
Well, he's definitely, he definitely is the Guido of Guidos. I mean, it's
really
incredible. You know, he's not into the business that much anymore. Like, he just basically owns a restaurant now, or at least they have me fooled. You know what I mean?
Yeah, sure.
But back in the 90s, and, you know, when I was growing up, I mean, I could definitely, there was always some shady stuff going on. You know what's crazy is I was actually thinking about this a couple of days ago. I remember I was so young. You ever notice that you remember some things from when you were like 4, 5, or 6 for some reason?
Sure.
But I remember when my dad made the offer to my mom to start running numbers. I remember like where I was sitting in the living room, because I remember sort of thinking like, oh, this is, it stood out to me because I remember dad asking mom to work a job. Like I felt like that was something that like was worth remembering. So somehow I still do. And I remember her contemplating it, but she didn't really have much of a choice, because what happened was right after I was born, my mom got T-boned in a car accident by some guy who just stole a car. And it was like 80 miles an hour. Miracle she survived. Car rolled like 7 times, but her back was messed up. So she couldn't, she wasn't very mobile. Mm-hmm. So that's why running numbers was really a good thing for her, because then she could run an entire enterprise straight off the phone right from
kitchen,
the house.
Right? Just
yes.
Sit there and...
Totally.
Now, did you have a sense when you were a kid? I always wonder about this. Mm-hmm. Like that, that what they were doing wasn't legal, whether it was dangerous.
Interesting. I knew that it wasn't legal pretty soon thereafter.
Did you get like keep your mouth shut speeches?
Oh, totally.
Oh, you did.
Really?
Oh, I mean, to an extreme. I mean, from the time you were four? Well, I'd probably say, you know, that I remember. I remember the talk happening 4, 5, or 6, but definitely by the time I'm 8 or 9, I mean, the phone's ringing all the time, and the phone would ring. And you know how sometimes when you're a little kid and the phone would ring, and the fun thing for you to do is to answer it.
Right.
You know, my mom's name is Joy. So people would call once in a while, and I'd pick up the phone, hello, and they go, is Gina there? And I go, sorry, no Gina lives here, thank you, and I hang up the phone.
Oh, shit.
And then I remember this too, but this is a little bit after 4 or 5, like this, like I said, like this is like 8, 9, or 10, I remember saying to my mom, hey mom, a lot of wrong numbers lately, they keep asking for Gina. My mom's like, what? How many people have been calling? Who knows how many thousands of dollars or hundreds of dollars
or whatever.
That I was like, oh, sorry, wrong number. Just excited to help.
You little fucking shit.
Right, right. You know, but she couldn't let it, you know, but she explained to me then, she goes, you know, Gina is my work name. And I remember I was 12 when she broke everything down to me.
Wow, that's young, man.
I thought... See, I don't have my dad's last name because my mom had me with a different dad than my 4 older brothers and sisters. So she gave me their last name, if this whole thing makes any sense. If I had my dad's last name, I'd be Tony Marsco. But instead, I'm Tony Hinchcliffe because she dated married an English guy before having me with my Italian father.
So your other siblings
are all Hinchcliffes.
And they have an English father,
correct,
right?
Okay. Correct.
So you'd be Tony Marsco.
Yeah.
Wow.
Which makes a lot more sense, right?
Wait, sorry, but your bio dad is the Italian dad.
Yes, totally. Okay. Yeah, the other dad, I only have his last name.
So bizarre.
Yeah, it really is.
But I guess she wanted to keep you all the same identity.
It made sense. Yes. It worked out perfectly because, you know, I've spent a lot of time with my older brothers and sisters, and they, like, helped raise me. I definitely consider myself a Hinchcliffe all the way. But what's interesting, though, is I remember when she broke down to me exactly everything when I was about 12, maybe 13 at the latest, but... And I got to give her credit for that, for being so cool to give it to me then and not keep me treading along, because it was also getting to the point where I was acting out in class all the time and stuff. And it's like I was goofing around. So it's like I could have said the wrong thing. So it was good that she was honest and upfront with me. But she explained to me. And what's interesting is one of the first things, the part where I started crying was when she told me that she never told me my dad's actual last name. Because she didn't want me to go around school saying, yeah, my dad's blah-bitty-blah, people finding out, and somebody who may have wanted to get revenge for something or anything. So I was actually protected up until that point by not knowing exactly who my dad was. They told me that my dad's name was Joe Smith.
Wow.
Yeah, but he was Joey Marsco, like Youngstown, I mean, Italian Fest Man of the Year. Like, I mean, this is like, we're talking big stuff.
Wow.
So your dad mm-hmm. is a total mobster.
He was, at least. I don't think it really exists anymore.
Was he in your life then as a kid or no?
In the beginning a lot. After maybe like 7 or 8, it got down to just like, you know, I'd see him a few times a year.
At that age, you didn't know what his name was. They were withholding his name?
That was just one thing, yeah. Because another thing is my father, old school Italian as he is, you probably know that they always are married, but they always have a woman on the side that is for like...
His Goomba?
Exactly. My mom was his Goomba, but they were dating for 16 years before they had me.
Damn. Oh,
just to show you how crazy the whole thing. I mean, this is old school. You know, they say in Goodfellas, like, Fridays are for the wives and Saturdays are for the girlfriends. Well, that's exactly what was happening, except he wasn't really even with his wife. Like, they were just like, it's such old school Catholic Italian stuff. They would sleep in different beds. I mean, he had no connection with his wife whatsoever.
Wow.
Other than the fact that they, you know, politically were married and lived together, but nobody knew what was really going on. And that's that he was in love with my mom the entire time.
Do you talk to him now?
Yeah. Yeah. Check in with him a few times a year.
You guys
have a
good rapport or whatever.
Yeah, he's real old school and weird. You know, you could tell his dad like really didn't probably talk to him much and stuff like that. Hey, how are you? You know, like I'll try to. One of my favorite things to do is at the end of every conversation, just because it cracks me up to hear his reaction. I always go, "All right, Dad. Well, I'll talk to you soon. I love you, man." He'll go, "Yeah." Like he has no idea what to say. Like he's so old school. He's like, yeah, whatever. Yeah. What'd you say? Yeah, I'll talk to you soon. Yeah.
Oh shit!
Can't even handle that level of intimacy
at all.
I know
no idea.
Old school Southern guy who used to tell his dad, "I love you," and his dad would just go, "Yeah." Like, yeah. All right, I gotta go. And he also told me that, like, when he was and it made like fucking redneck sense to him that, like, he called his dad daddy or something, and he's like, "You know, my dad told me, you call me daddy one more time, I'm gonna slap the shit out of you." I was like, "I don't get it. Like, why would he slap the shit out of you?" He's like, "Called him daddy." And I was like, "When you were like 7 and he was like, "Yeah, he was, you know, teaching me not, you don't call me daddy no more." And I was like, I still don't get it. Why is it so bad?
Right.
And then, like, he had to explain, like, somebody else had to tell me, no, like, not that I was calling my dad daddy, but, like, I assume that, like, it's okay to let a 7-year-old say it if that's what he says.
Right.
Like, he's 7.
Right.
Like, yes. Just let him keep saying that until he stops. He was just like, "I'm going to fucking kick the shit out of you if you fucking say that again." Like,
it's hilarious.
All right, there's Theo.
You know what I think it is he's laying on the tile flooring and that's making him cold or something.
Let's get him out of there.
He insists on
Oh, yeah.
But I could put him in the bed. Here, I'll try to put him
okay,
in the bed.
Okay, try it. Can I ask you this?
Yeah.
So when he gets broken down to you, like you said, you're acting out in class.
Right.
And your mom sits you down and she's like, "Here's the real deal." Mm-hmm. After that, do you get like a sense of pride about all this, or are you, you know, are you fearful, or how do you actually, you know, how does it hit you once you get the inside
there
scoop?
I remember specifically at that point, I was already a huge fan of the movie Goodfellas. It was the only movie that that's where really
it's such
art.
It's a perfect film.
Absolutely,
perfect. It's an absolutely magical. Perfectly made. The fact that that did not win the Oscar that year is it's insane.
It's unbelievable.
But plus, on some weird level, you must have connected to that movie.
Well, so much so.
Of course. That's the story of your life. Right.
Right. Well, especially then The Sopranos came out soon after, and it's like, my father's name is Joe, but his middle name's Anthony, and in Sopranos, it's like there's Anthony Jr.
Yeah.
And it was just... it's very surreal, and it's so much like that. I mean, my dad looks exactly like a combination of James Gandolfini and Chaz Palminteri.
Really?
So in the movie A Bronx Tale, if you've ever seen that,
fantastic movie.
It's scary. It makes it just gives me the chills every time because it's very, very, very surreal. I mean, it looks exactly like him.
Really?
Yeah. He's so Italian.
Did you
crazy.
Go through that thing? Like, especially for boys, I think. Like when I was I don't know, 14, 15-year-old, I'm sure I put on a front sometimes because you're at that age where, like, whatever you're into, you know, it kind of manifests through you. Like, you act tougher than you are or, you know, like, you look back on you're like, what a fucking idiot. Did you start to act like, do you ever act like a mobster tough guy?
No, not really. No? You know, what's interesting about it is that, you know, he wouldn't, like, come to school events. He would never come to any of my sporting events. He was very... They kept this thing very low-key because he also didn't want his friends and other people finding out that he had a kid with his guma because that's looked at as like, you know, like shady stuff. Like,
really?
So he kept me pretty well covered up. You know, me being Tony Hinchcliffe and not Tony Marsco definitely benefited both of us.
Really?
Big time. And so, you know, one of the things that actually happened was that even my friends, my really good friends at school who knew soon thereafter that was my dad, you know, they would talk to their parents and they would come up to me and they'd go, you know, "Tony, just to let you know, I mean, are you sure that's your dad? Because I talked to my parents and they go, there is no way that's your dad." It's like, are you kidding me? Every birthday and Christmas. Yeah. I mean, you know what I mean?
But it's still, it's like, it's also like when somebody, a friend's parent to go up to you and be like, "Are you sure?" Like,
yeah,
like,
it's
do
so
you mind
bizarre.
Fucking minding right. your own business?
Right,
at this
exactly.
Point?
And those people love it there. You know what I mean? It's all gossip.
Oh, of course. Of course. What's more exciting than our little fucking right. Jimmy's friend
yeah.
is a mobster's kid? Yeah, that's so much.
Now, did you ever have a father son outing day? Like, was there ever a day where he's like, "Let's go to Chuck E. Cheese," and he hands you like 50 million quarters as opposed
no,
to just
no? It was we
10.
Never really went public. At all. It was always very much under wraps. Very, very much so. I remember one of the big bonding things, the only bonding, real bonding that we ever did outside of inside the house was when I was very, very young. He used to drive me around the block and I'd sit on his lap and he'd let me steer the car. But that's it. I mean, that's the closest we came. Tinted windows, GMC Jimmy or whatever those were called
back
then.
Yeah,
you know
yeah,
I mean?
Of course.
But yeah, definitely none of that. You know, when I'd get in trouble in school, my mom would always have him call me,
ooh,
which was like a thing.
That's scary as shit, though, right?
Tony, you're fucking around in school.
Yeah, you can't do that. But, you know, at the same time, I was always looking at him. I always knew that there was something going on. I mean, once in a while, he'd come home. He would come visit, and he'd have a cast on his arm, I remember,
oh
at one
God.
Point. And I remember going, "Hey, what happened to your arm, Dad?" And I remember it being like the worst lie ever. Like, I shoved it in the car door. It's like, I mean, I know I'm 11, but that doesn't sound quite believable.
Then it broke in three places.
This right. fucking car had it coming. He was saying, I don't know.
That is so crazy.
How did he scold you? Like, how does a mobster tell you not to fuck around in school?
Not well. He really didn't get his point across well, and I kept acting.
He didn't
up.
Fucking behave in school.
Oh yeah, know? No way. Right.
Yeah.
I remember one of the interesting things that I got in trouble for. This was the big one. This is the big one. Was I had this teacher who hated me, Mr. Gilmartin, seventh grade. I make a joke about. We're all laughing about something. I'm on a roll. And I said something like, "Yeah, you know, whatever. My dad molests me." Like, it was like, we were in the zone talking about that. And somehow that was like the big joke that was just like, blah. And everybody's cracking up. Ah, Tony's dad molests him. But he hated me, this teacher. So what he did was...
Call Dad.
Is he called Children's Services.
No!
Because by rule, if you mention any joke about your dad molesting you, the teacher has to call.
Oh, no.
But what happened was, is Children's Services then called my dad. My dad then called my mom, who put me on the phone. Like, "Hey, what happened? Who's this teacher hates me. I was just making a joke. He knows it was a joke." I go to school the next day. Guess who's not there anymore? Mr. Gilmartin never showed up again.
Ever?
He was
wow.
done. Yeah. So there's an example
wow.
of. There's an example. I remember it was maybe like half a year or a year later. We're at a grocery store a city over, and who's stacking cantaloupes? Mr. Gilmartin.
Really?
Over there in the produce section.
Wow.
Yeah.
Shit.
Yeah.
Wow,
like,
dude.
With one of those weird produce aprons on, like just like very bottom of the barrel, you
Who's
know?
Who's molested now, asshole?
Right, exactly.
Did he have a couple casts on still?
No, but he had no pride whatsoever while stacking those cantaloupes.
Sure. Holy! Now, does your father have a mob nickname?
That's a good question. God, I mean, so many of his friends do. I mean, it's exactly like out of the movies, by the way.
Really?
You know, when he's when he's talking to my mom about things, you know, she checks up on how everybody is. You know, "Hey, how's Jimmy Two Times?" And Timmy No Shoes. And
yeah.
You know, there's just all of them. You wouldn't even believe. I don't think he has
Tony Sandwich
one.
Is doing.
Yeah, exactly. No, he's Joey. He's like the Joey of Youngstown. So I think he sort of owns that as his nickname.
Yeah.
The name of his restaurant is Joey.
Just Joey?
Not Joey's.
Joey.
Just Joey. It's the Joey restaurant.
Holy shit, man.
Yeah, wow. And the place he used to work at before that in Youngstown was called the Avalon, and that place was super shady. They had this basement. It was a bar, and old school bar. I mean, the kind of bar that you... It's like the one, again, I just have to keep going back to it, but it's like in Goodfellas. Remember the bar that they're at when everybody keeps walking in with stuff that they spent money on?
He's like,
why, you bought a car? What did I tell you?
Yeah, what did I tell you?
Yeah, exactly.
I said, don't get anything nice. Well, you got to fucking make that place.
It looked exactly like that place, except there was a doorway with a big stairway, and in the basement they had bocce courts and just... The place was out of control.
I mean, so fucking Italian mobster.
It's so Italian to have bocce courts in your basement.
Jesus Christ.
It's like having a bathtub filled with spaghetti. It's that Italian.
Did you ever throw... I mean, here's the thing. People who have the juice behind them never seem like it. Like, you seem like the guy who I'd be like, this guy, you're too calm and cool... So that it makes sense that you have a background like that. The guy who's like, oh, fucking.
Yeah. Right.
You know that guy has no juice. Just like when somebody is like extraordinarily wealthy, they don't look like it compared to the guy who wants to look extraordinarily wealthy.
Exactly.
Did you ever, though, throw around weight ever?
You know, there was so many times in which I wish I could have, but I really couldn't because I didn't want to, you know, one of the interesting things, how it sort of worked out was he would always give me the best Christmas present and birthday present. Was the catch. If I kept the secret up, then that was my reward.
Oh, that's so cool,
isn't it?
That's great. What did you get?
And super mobster again.
Yeah, I love it.
You're a good boy. Keep your mouth shut.
Right.
So
which
smart.
Is so crazy that I found out later actually that he would give my mom money to do that, and since he didn't know me that well, he would have her get the present. She would wrap it. She would walk around out of the back door, sit it in front of the front door, walk back through in the back door. So when he got out of his car, he would just whoop, pick it up, knock on the door.
How'd you find that out?
She told me. My mom's so cool that she. If by the way, nobody would laugh harder at this podcast right now than my mom.
Well, you gotta
send
it to her.
She thinks it's hilarious.
You have to send it to her. Yeah, that's fantastic.
It'll be the first podcast she's ever listened to because she has no idea what's going on the internet.
Does she go a Hinchcliffe?
Yeah, she's stuck with Hinchcliffe because of all the kids. So she has a total of 5 kids.
Yeah.
My closest sibling
Hi, Mrs. Hinchcliffe. I remember you. You're adorable.
My closest sibling is 12 years older than me. I was a huge surprise.
Was he at the...
Yeah.
He was at the show, right?
Actually, that was my oldest brother. He's 16 or 17 years older than me.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
But they're all 12, 15, 16, 17
years old. You had a big turnout at that Columbus show.
Yeah, I just did it again
was it?
A month ago. Awesome. So much fun. Columbus is great.
Did you fucking burn people again? You roast them?
Yeah. Yeah, it was a blast.
He was just throwing out fucking flamethrower at the show, burning people who were piping up.
Yeah, there was a kid that looked like a giant baby in the front. I brought him on stage. Yeah. I just couldn't help myself. And
that's great.
He listens to this show.
Oh, yeah? One of the first things that happened was, I'm like, look at you, you big baby. like, I can smell bacon on your breath from here. He's like, I just had a bacon cheeseburger. How'd you know? that was the opening of it.
That was amazing.
It was off, up and away after that.
So, did you ever see shit go down because of your mom's dealings? Like, did you have somebody come by the house where you're like, that wasn't good? Or like a threatening phone call or anything like that?
Not really. No? There were times in which, there were times in which I could tell she was struggling. People were hitting their numbers. So I could tell that there were times in which the financial part of it was very scary. We were pretty, it's interesting because we were pretty poor because my mom couldn't work. All that she could do was the running numbers.
Yeah.
I guess we weren't really that poor as much as she made it seem because she used to be pretty fear-driven, very paranoid of not having enough money. I definitely remember there was this one woman. I won't say her name. I won't go that far. But there was one person, her biggest regular, who would call in, and she had some crazy knack for picking pick three, pick four numbers. I could even tell you some of the lingo, which is really crazy. So
It's
so you would hear my mom on the phone and she'd go, because the other person's going 338, 422, 755. And then at the end she goes, okay, straight or boxed, which is like, do you want that number one time in a row, 7-5-5, or if it's 5-7-5 or 5-5-7, you win too. That means box. So people would pick, you know, they pick straight or box. She has these notebooks. I mean, it is what you think it is. It's
really
steno notebooks filled with numbers, some with check marks, some with boxes, some with X's next to them, some with, you know, just these diabolical notes. I mean, the type of things you see in evidence rooms, like TV, on A&E or True TV or History or whatever.
Now, here's what I want to, I knew nothing about, I mean, I know something about sports books, you know, but about on the numbers thing. Mm-hmm. So people know they can call
Gina
to run their numbers, right?
Yeah.
Then who produces said numbers in underground?
It's the Ohio Lottery.
So you're playing...
Oh,
everybody watches that thing, but instead of playing that and getting... I don't know whether it's less money or it's more expensive. I think it's more expensive to play the Ohio Lottery and lose than it is to play numbers and lose. So I think if you really just love gambling, you'd rather play numbers than play the actual lottery.
Cost you less.
Right. And, man, this lady would play, like, this lady that I'm talking about specifically had such a knack for it.
Would your mother read her numbers back?
Yes. At the very end of everything, that was the final thing. So 7-5-5-5-3-2-4-6-7-7-7-7-3. And, I mean, this is what I heard every day for...
Hours.
Yes.
Really?
About an hour or two every single day.
How about, obviously, somebody wins... And they're gonna want their money. Do they come to the house?
They have different systems for that. Sometimes they would come to the house. Sometimes she would go out and make a drop off. But another very interesting thing is, for example, let's say 7:30 comes around in between Wheel of Fortune and Jeopardy. They do the Ohio Lottery, and you know, I could be outside playing in the backyard, and I could hear from my mother's bedroom, you know, fuck, you know, like loud if somebody would hit. And they would, man. I'm telling you, this one lady was so, she had such a knack for it. She'd play three numbers and she'd win one.
And damn. How much can you win? Like, what are we talking?
Yeah, that part's tough. I don't know the exact logistics. I guess that's one of the things that I still have to talk to my mom about and find out, like, exactly what were the... How much?
You heard the show, Gina. What kind of money are we talking about?
Well, what do you yell fuck over?
I get the feeling that it's probably somewhere near around about perhaps 1,000, 5,000, maybe just 500, right. It could be.
Sure.
You know, maybe 250, 200. I mean,
I'm guessing in the thousands.
Yeah. And do you think people ever go, bitch, that's not what I told you. I said 7577.
No, I know for a fact that's not. That would definitely never happen. I know it for a fact.
Wow,
that part would never.
How do you know, so sir?
Because she was the queen of this. Okay. She was so efficient. There was never a mistake ever, or else something would have happened.
But somebody could lie. Somebody could be like, I said that and you wrote it down, blah,
There's
blah, blah, blah,
no
blah.
Way.
No?
There's no way. The whole thing is thrown off if somebody plays that game once. You know what I mean? If somebody tries to lie, they're done. They're never playing again.
Right.
And it wouldn't work anyway. She, you know, the whole thing is honest based. When you're playing an illegal lottery, you're all in it together.
Right. Oh, that's a good point.
You know, so it's like... It doesn't get that shady. Plus, she's not like a bad person.
No,
she's very efficient and nice. So,
I was gonna say this is a pretty crazy thing for like essentially a single mom to do to support her five kids. And was she ever scared? I mean, this is a pretty
she was scared
scary
at times
thing.
Because I'm. I mean, what's really wild is that I was growing up when they were eliminating the mafia in Youngstown. I mean, it was a huge, huge deal. If Youngstown is so notorious for the Italian mafia. The Youngstown tune-up is, if you ever hear that, is a car bomb.
Oh my God.
That's because in Youngstown, that's what they would do to people. You'd go to start your day, you know, and they blew up. They had this huge mob family called the Naples. And I'm talking big time mob family. He's extremely rich, you know, millionaires, humongous mansion, huge old school castle, basically. And they blew it up with the family inside at one point. Yeah. The Naples mansion on Wick Avenue.
How do you save your money if you're in the mob? I'm assuming they don't open bank accounts at Wells Fargo.
Right.
Fuck no.
My mom, I can tell you right now, and
where'd she keep it?
My father, the same way, shoeboxes of cash.
Just somewhere hidden in your home or in safe locations.
Right.
But what if someone finds that? I'm always so, because I always like to think of where I'd hide my stash, and I don't know. I'm so paranoid.
There's really good places. I mean, I guess I could talk about them now. For example, like if you have stacks of cash, one of the best places you could hide them is inside jacket pockets in the closet that are hanging. People never are like, "Ew, I wonder if, you know."
Of course. But
you could have bricks of cash in there. Inside of shoes, you know, all these little areas where people would never look, where they're looking for like a box.
Right.
You could put them in basically anything else. I remember we had a big bag of dog food in the back that she would hide things in the dog food.
Right, so it's that's like, so smart.
Dig in, pull out a Ziploc bag.
So smart.
So gangster.
I love
this
it.
This is from Tony's high school graduation. What are you, fucking stupid?
What did I tell you?
I talked to you before, didn't I?
Don't buy nothing, don't get nothing.
You have to go buy anything for a while. Yeah, got a fucking car. It's a wedding gift, Jimmy. It's from my mother. It's under her name. I just got mad.
Put that car.
I'm shooting now.
Shut the fuck up.
Just stupid.
Yeah.
Are you kind of nuts? What are you getting excited for, Jimmy? What am I getting excited for? You stupid. We got a million fucking bulls out there. Everybody's watching us, and you get a fucking car. They're telling me I'm excited.
My mother's name. It's a wedding gift.
Find her back, mother's name. Take it back. I don't care where you send it. Get it the fuck out of here.
Get anything, nothing big. What I said? What's the matter with you?
What's the matter with you?
What are you getting excited for? What am I getting excited about? Because you're going to get us all fucking pinched. That's why. What are you, stupid? What's the matter with you?
I apologize.
What's the matter with you?
That's such a good
What the fuck is the matter with you?
That's so Tony's dad talking to him.
I know. That's so crazy he talks to you guys like that.
So good. Yep. It's interesting that Frosty the Snowman playing at my graduation.
This was the after party.
And your dad being like, why the fuck did you buy this shit? I gave you this money to fucking hang on to.
What's that scene where is it Joe Pesci and they're going to threaten some fat guy? And they threaten his life. Is that in Goodfellas where they go and he's in a living room and there's
no, that's
rock?
In Casino.
That's one of my favorites.
Oh,
scenes.
Yeah. That's when he invested. He invested with the banker and and then he's like, I want my money
so
back.
Funny.
And the guy's like, well, like you lost money because you invested it. And he was like, let me tell you something.
Here's what I think.
Yeah.
That's not how investments work with me.
Yeah, I think this is it here. This is
I watched that scene over and over.
Fucking amazing.
Yeah.
Is this it? I don't know. I think
Joe Pesci is so good.
Oh my god, I know. This is it. It's amazing.
Want some to drink?
Yeah, this is it.
Charlie, you want a refill?
Yeah,
refill would be great.
No, I don't know. Hey, Mr. Clark, how you doing? I'm trying to reach you. You're tougher to get than the president.
Well, I've been busy.
Yeah, at least you could do is return my phone calls, though.
Listen, Nicky.
So good.
We talked about this. And I explained to you that there was the possibility you might have to take some kind of loss.
Yeah. I think I want my money back.
What are you going to do, strong arm me?
You know, I think that you got the wrong impression about me. I think in all fairness, I should explain to you exactly what it is that I do. For instance, tomorrow morning I'll get up nice and early, take a walk down over to the bank and walk in and see you. And if you don't have my money for me, I'll crack your fucking head wide open. And just about the time that I'm coming out of jail, hopefully, you'll be coming out of your coma. And guess what? I'll split your fucking head open again. I'm fucking stupid. I don't give a fuck about jail. That's my business. That's what I do.
Wow.
And we know what you do, don't we, Charlie? You fuck people out of money and get away with it.
You can't talk to me like
hey,
that.
You fat Irish prick. Put my fucking money to sleep. You go get my money or I'll put your fucking brain to sleep.
Sam.
Never mind. Sam, this is personal. I'll be there in the morning. You can fucking try me, fatso. You fucking try me.
You can fucking try me, fatso. Fatso. Oh, wow. That's so good.
So yeah, great.
I remember that he's actually one of the people that
fatso.
That's when I understood how funny anger can be when it's like contained. Mm-hmm. It's just so funny when somebody like he did this horrible movie called like Eight Heads in a Duffel Bag or Nine Heads.
I remember
some
that
piece of shit movie. But I went to see the movie just to watch him yell at people because it was so fucking funny.
Yeah.
Every time he spoke in the movie, I was pissing my pants. And it's this horrible movie.
Yeah,
that he was in. He's hilarious.
Yeah, that makes me rage. Makes me laugh too. Like Taxi Driver, I think is one of the funniest movies when De Niro is like he hates everybody.
You can do the speech almost, can't you?
Oh yeah, I'm trying to remember it. All the animals come out at night. What is it? Scumbags, screwheads, dopers, faggots, queens. Someday a real rain will come and wash all the scum off the streets. Makes me laugh so much.
A real rain.
A real rain. Oh, no.
Wow.
Because he so hates.
He hates everybody.
All the scum of the earth.
Yeah, it's so funny.
The whores and the pinchers and the queers. And the. Yeah.
So how did your dad get into this lifestyle?
It's a really good question. You know, what my mom always made it seem like to me is that my dad, which sort of makes sense genetically, I think it's something that I sort of got from him. I guess my dad was always a late night, life of the party type of, like he didn't really get going and start having fun until 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 1, 2 at night. And I'm the exact same way. And a perfect day for me is I roll out of bed at 12 or 1.
Yes.
Slowly drink coffee and relax throughout the afternoon. Mm-hmm. And about 6 or 7 have dinner and then start my day.
Yeah. Right.
You know what I mean? Go out, do stand up, have fun with my comedian friends and whoever else. But I've always really gotten rolling then. So I could picture... I could imagine that he got into the restaurant business pretty early on, and I think just hanging around and being Italian and being a cook, you know, there's certain jobs that these people all have. The trash business is a big one for some reason. I don't know why.
Waste management.
Right. It's a real, like, you if you know a politician, like, they give them money, like, it's a real shady thing. But what I've noticed is that it's almost always food business. Like the one thing that I felt like was sort of off about The Sopranos, from what I know about the crime part of the business, is that I feel like the Vesuvio restaurant, I feel like they could have made him more of a power player.
Mm-hmm.
Because what happens is that's where the meetings take place, and that's where, you know, a lot of big things happen in those Italian restaurants, or at least they did. You know, mind you, it all really came to a head in the 90s. That's when they got rid of the Italians, and in Youngstown, that's when black crime shot out of control, because then they didn't realize that the Italians were actually keeping the blacks in check.
In Youngstown.
Youngstown is notorious more than anything for their crime. Murder per capita ratio or whatever, like for what it is, it's the most dangerous city in the country.
Wow.
Detroit's bigger, DC's bigger.
Yeah.
So they might have more murders, but as capita, far as being in an area where you don't, where you could get shot, that's where you don't want to be. And it got worse when they got rid of the mob. There was a time in the 90s where they were averaging like 3 murders a day in a city with 45,000 people.
Damn.
I mean, it's out of control. One out of every 100 people at one point was a gang member in Youngstown. One out of every 100. So it was either in the Italian mob or they were in either the Bloods or the Crips or whatever. Jeez. But the Bloods or the Crips got way out of control once they got rid of the mob, because they couldn't control them. They knew where little headquarters for the mob were. So then all these streets that the Italians were actually keeping in check were no longer in check because they wanted to get rid of organized crime.
Yeah.
But what happened was is unorganized crime then took over.
Mm.
So it was sort of an epidemic because the Italians weren't really hurting anybody other than other Italians that would screw them over or a bad deal or whatever.
Yeah.
But they were keeping, they had the black crime was very intimidated by the Italians at that time. So it was a huge epidemic that took place. Wait, what was the original question? Because I felt like I had a point. I was getting to something.
Oh, how did your dad get into this?
Oh, right.
I thought it was, how are the blacks so out of control?
Yeah, why are the blacks so out of control?
That's a tough question. That's one for Neil deGrasse Tyson or something like that. Some astrophysicist. But yeah, you know, and now...
Was your dad's dad a mobster?
I don't think so.
And is your dad Sicilian?
No.
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 Is he first generation American?
Yes. His dad was born in Italy.
There you go.
Yeah.
Got the hustle in
They were extremely Italian.
Hustle.
Yeah, totally.
And did they go to like New York and then Youngstown, that kind of thing?
Yeah, I think so. I don't think they stayed long in New York. I think Youngstown, they went pretty quick there.
I remember a guy who I used to get my haircut by in Florida was a real fucking Italian.
Right.
And he was from Jersey and he came down in the 90s to Florida. And basically after I got my haircut by him for like a year, he told me that all the Gambinos used to get their haircut at his place. But besides haircuts, what they used to use his salon for was a place they could talk.
Oh,
so
shit.
What they would do is they would come by his shop and then they'd be like, hey, Tony, I'm just going to have a little talk if you want to take a walk. And he'd be like, oh, yeah. So you'd go take a walk. And he said he would come back and there'd be like $1,500 on the coffee table, like for letting them have their talk.
That's awesome. They were like, thanks. I would let them talk anywhere.
Sure. And then, and he was, everybody, they treated him great.
Right.
He would go to birthday parties, he cut fucking Carlo Gambino's hair.
Jeez.
Wow.
Like, it's pretty crazy.
Yeah. You know, they really took care of everybody all the time. It was very, you know, it was very organized.
Yeah.
It really was. And everybody was always well taken care of. It's, again, another thing that's sort of Goodfellas-esque is everybody was getting tipped. And that $1,500 that they would leave for them, that's a very normal thing. If somebody has to talk about something, I mean, they would shut that door, they would, and then walk out, and then they would lock that door, leave, you know, take literally just walk out in the parking lot, just stand there for 10, 15 minutes. I mean, the highest levels of respect. It's not like they would... let him go and put a cup to the ear. It's like, you don't even want to know.
Mm-hmm.
You want to get away. You just be happy that they gave you the option, that they told you to walk away. You know
for sure.
I mean? And so everybody
was
well taken care of.
That's right, because Big Ange always says, I like the wise guys. She used to date wise guys. And that's her whole thing, is that they take care of you. And the wise guys aren't there anymore.
All the money.
Right.
Yeah.
I would have spent all the money and get my hair and my nails done.
And nobody takes care of Big Ange anymore. She has to work.
No.
I like the wise guys.
I like the wise guys.
An interesting thing is that, my dad owns that restaurant.
Joey.
Yeah. The Joey restaurant.
I don't know why. Ever since you said that, I imagine in my mind him overhearing somebody saying it wrong, being like, hey, we're going to go over to Joey's place. And he's like,
there's no plural.
Joey.
Hey. We you go to Joey's, you're going to end up going to the wrong place. It's a different place entirely.
Exactly.
It's Joey.
Meet me at Joey. No, man, Joey's, right? Like, no.
And what about, like, wiretapping? Because I would be so paranoid if I were in the mob. Like,
they should have been.
Organized crime.
I'm surprised I never... that's another really good question for my mom. I'm going to ask her that one, too, next time I talk to her. The logistics will be one thing. And then the wiretapping, I'm very interested to know if she ever did any... I bet you she did. I'll bet you she probably had some kind of machine or like wand or something. It had to be something.
Or even in these public spaces where you would go to talk. Like, how can they trust that the barber didn't let the FBI in and they bugged the place or whatever?
Right.
Like, how do you know where to go to talk?
Right.
The best to it is in line with that is the code for how to speak on the phone. Like, another thing that's from Goodfellas and, yeah, and Casino is they would be like, oh, you know, they would let the wives talk. Mm-hmm. Remember, I think it's in Casino or something where they're like, mm-hmm. you let the wives talk for a while, then the feds stop listening. Mm-hmm. So you let them talk for like 5 minutes. Oh, yeah, I did get my hair done. The feds mm-hmm. stopped listening. Then they passed the phone to their husbands, you know, and then the husband's like, all right. And then they would still speak in code, like, I'm sort of hungry. I'm gonna get a Danish pastry, and that, right. that means like go to 128th,
right?
And then they'd say a time, and it meant like subtract 3 hours,
right?
Like it was all coded stuff,
totally. And that was that was a thing that was in The Sopranos that reminded me of the things that I would hear was when they were talking about 8 boxes of ZD, mm-hmm. 6 boxes of ZD, like that was like $10,000, like 6 boxes of ZD was like $60,000.
Oh my wow. God.
Wow. It's incredible, man. It's such an amazing story that it's you grew so up funny, with. It's
so funny. And it's also just hilarious. Nobody laughs harder at it than my mom. She thinks it's the funniest thing in the world because she's so happy she got away with it. She realizes that she can't get tried for it. It was a blessing because she couldn't work another job. She knew who my dad, she was into my dad being into it. You know, that's fine. And the whole secret thing and everything, you know, that was a little bit rough for a while, but I immediately realized, oh, okay, I just have a different life than my friends. You know, at first I was upset and a little bit jealous that my friends had this debt. You know what killed me? I'll tell you exactly what killed me.
Yeah.
It was at the baseball games.
Right.
Being one of the better players and never getting to play. It killed me. Oh. It killed my little heart because... you know, the kids that sucked, if their dad's there, aww. They get in the game. They're playing in the game. And I totally get that. I mean, if I was a head coach of a baseball team and you see, nerdy, chubby guy with glasses or whatever that has no idea how to play baseball, but his dad and his mom's in the stands, mm-hmm. you can't leave him on the bench the whole time. And my mom had the back problem and my dad was nowhere around. But I always knew, I'm like, man, if my dad would just come to one of these games, I know I could be starting second base like I know I should be.
Yeah.
And that was really the one thing where it's like, God, I just wish these people knew
mm-hmm.
what's really going on.
Well, maybe you should have told your dad, then he could talk to the coach.
Right.
You
know well, I mean. I wanted the coach to be there the next day. That's the only
problem. You want to be stacking cantaloupes? Huh? Yeah.
Hey, yo, you have any experience working produce? Because you're about to.
You put Tony second base forever. No questions asked. Okay, all right. Yeah.
Or else I'm going to turn you into part of the fucking pitcher's mound. How about that? Bury you 1 foot deep. They're going to be using you off the rubber.
Oh, my God.
What
see,
a
like,
story.
Let me, you coach baseball, so let me use a little analogy. Right now, you're at a full count. Okay? Something's about to give. You either put Tony in. You're going to die. How about that?
I like that full count a lot. You guys are like, I get it. I get the analogy. I totally get it.
Oh, my gosh.
Why don't you just pretend like I'm there in the stands every game from now on?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Sure.
Tony struck out. Well, Tony's up again.
You tell the fucking umpire to call me if he has any problems.
Tony's going to bat 16 times in a row.
I keep saying the F word. That's okay.
You can,
right? Oh, you can,
okay. You can do whatever
wait,
you
want. So put your dick between your legs.
Does your dad wear the jumpsuits
and
all that?
So funny. Oh, my God.
Gold chain.
Italian suits.
So funny. The pinky ring that Nuh-uh. He's always had. I mean, it is... completely. And let me remind you, it is how that is now, but in the 90s, which is what I specifically remember, you know, a hot day,
yeah,
he would come in just with Adidas pants and a wife beater, and he could pull it off. He could pull
so
it off
rad.
It's not like it's nothing like a white trash guy
no.
wearing the same
no.
thing, you know, totally different thing. You look at that guy and you're like, oh, you know, that white guy wearing the same thing, it's like, oh, that guy must be on meth or something.
Yeah.
But you right. see him with a gold chain, you know, with that weird Italian horn and a cross and a pinky ring and a wife beater, you're like, man, this guy is
yeah.
really cool.
Mm-hmm. They made this shit for him.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That whole thing was designed for him.
Right.
Yeah.
Adidas all the way.
That's so Eastern Europeans love that too.
Oh yeah. My God, do totally. They
my
ever?
My whole tribe, my whole family, Hungarians specifically, love Adidas. I got some of that shit in my closet too, just so you know.
White dress shirts, collars, always very fresh pressed. Never,
sure.
never a wrinkle in anything that he would wear. Never
really?
A scuff on his shoe.
Just
never,
like this?
Nothing like that. The opposite of this entire.
It
looks like those that was wrinkled up, like like it was ironed. Somebody ironed your pocket.
What I did was it was pressed.
That's so
and
accurate.
I put it in a ball
it just
on purpose.
Popped back up again. He tried to wait, put it down. It just pops up,
flips up like a dog.
Yeah. I guess they can't see that at home.
So beautiful.
But go ahead.
What was it? It was I was just gonna say something about what he would wear.
Did his face smell like aqua velva? Like, was he shiny?
Nah, he's not like that. He's very cool about it. It wasn't like he was that obnoxious. The Adidas thing, I don't even think he would do that anymore. But, what was one of the things? Darn it.
Rings, jewelry, shoes.
Neatness. Oh, when I saw pictures of him from like the 70s and stuff, and his hair went thin and he was mostly bald ever since I was born. But before that, he had one of those big Italian perms. It was like a fro.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was like badass.
I would love to meet your dad.
Yeah.
I would love to meet this guy.
He's really cool. He would just laugh at all this, I hope.
I hope. Well, let's go to Joey. We'll go find him.
We'll go to Joey.
Yeah.
Hey, are you Joey?
Are you the Joey from Joey? Yeah.
Just to catch people up, so we spoke to Angel, and she was on the show yesterday.
Yes.
And we had a little confusion. This is Angel, in case you're probably not familiar, but hold on.
All you need to do is do this.
It's Angel from Angel's Fellatio Secrets about how to give the best blowjobs.
And that's a black woman, right?
Yes.
I've seen this video. I saw it with Brian.
Oh, she was
Red
on the
Band
show. She was on the show yesterday.
She was here?
She was over the phone on the show.
She's in Chicago, so she did a phone in.
Wow.
Yeah. So she was fantastic.
The third technique is called mouth watering good. I do this technique in each blowjob because it's very important. What you're going to do is you're going to take his penis and push it as far back in your throat that you can to gag. When you gag, your mouth waters and your eyes tear. This allows you to know that you're doing it correctly.
I love that she phrased it like that. This allows you to know that you're doing it correctly.
So there's two parts to it, the technique itself and the sound effects. I'm going to show you how to do them both, and then I'm going to explain how to do the sound effects after. Now.
So collected, after.
We didn't get to this final part of our interview with her yesterday. So I want to bring it up, if I have it here. One second. She was, she was such a good guest.
I know. I wish we could get her in here. Maybe if she visits LA, she could actually come and sit down. She was so kind, like sweet, too.
Super nice. Let me see if I have this set up here.
You have to.
Thank you, Angel. I've been asking for years. Thank you.
About anal we're talking
about.
This is such a wonderful service you're doing for women and for everybody. And we love your boldness. We absolutely love your attitude and everything that you're doing. So thank you so much.
Not to mention, it's unbelievably hilarious. So you made us laugh very hard.
Yes.
It's actually a real a joy to speak to you. And I want you said you were on Twitter. What is your Twitter handle so we can tell people to tweet you?
On Twitter, it's Angels with an S Secrets 1. Okay. That's the name of my book, Angels with an S Secrets 1.
The number one.
Yes, the number one.
Now, we looked this up, and it is sort of unusual, right? That her
it doesn't seem to add up, because there's one that's Angels Secrets 2, and that one appears to be the one she's tweeting from. But I know I text messaged her today.
And she said it is the one. Okay.
No, here's what she said, because I was like, it appears that one's incorrect. And are you sure that's the thing? And she just wrote yes. So
it is Angel Secrets 1. Okay.
Yeah, could it be Angel Secrets?
She also mentioned something that I can't believe we left off yesterday. So let me play it for you.
Okay, so at Angels with an S, Secrets with an S?
Yes.
1. Okay. Well, we'll tweet it out from our Twitter page too. But this was a joy. Can we do another call with you sometime? Can we follow up with you?
Anytime, yes. And just to let you guys know that I do have another DVD that's coming out early summer, late spring,
It will be my third DVD. I do have another DVD out. My first one is with another company, though, so I really kind of promote my own. And then after that one, I'm going to have a bonus DVD called Death.
What? Death?
Oh, death?
Death, yes. I know that sounds scary, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, you're curious. Do you know, and unfortunately, I hate to say it, that I've actually had a couple of men that died.
Aww.
Oh, that was terrible.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so they're giving, like, killing heads. So I'm going to have a bonus DVD with a technique, because what happened was my guy was saying that it's this one thing I do to him. He said, every time you do that, I feel like I'm about to die.
Wait, people have died while getting head from you or your technique?
Not from me, from women who took my class. So
oh
far,
my
two ladies.
Wow.
Would give me death.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's literally killer head.
Yes, literally.
Wow.
And that's sad to laugh, but it's kind of like my resume. That's awesome.
That is awesome. And is there any other way to go out better than that?
Yeah, I would love to go out like that.
I know. If you are that, yes. So I tell women all the time in my class, you know, beware of this. You know, I have to put a kind of a, you know, a little, what do you call it?
Disclaimer.
Verbal disclaimer that, you know, make sure he's healthy. Make sure your life insurance policy is up to date. All the good stuff.
All right. I would love to take one of your classes. Thank you for joining us today,
yes,
Angel. It was really a joy.
Thank you for having me. Thank you so much.
And we will talk to you soon. All right, so there's I realize now that I said I would love to take one of your classes, meaning I would love to learn how to give great blowjobs.
Well,
that's what I just said to
on
Angel.
Big black dildos,
right?
Too.
Huge black cocks.
That would be epic.
Could you please shove them in my mouth, Angel?
Yeah, you've been practicing your sounds, right?
Oh my God, the sounds are just.
I try.
All you need to do is do this,
and then it'll sound.
Sounds like that suction that the dentist uses.
Very much so. All right.
It's arousing, right?
Jeez, I don't know. I mean, I don't know if I'd be able to listen to that. No matter how good the blowjob is, I'd probably put some headphones on, play some music if that noise is happening.
It's a little much. That's the thing. Here's the thing. I think if you listen to her, if you're trying to please your man, follow what she's saying and then just tone it down maybe a little bit.
Right.
Maybe some noise.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be the full, because it's a little extreme.
Yeah.
What about the 88? We've been talking about that today in the car.
Yes, because she told us she has the figure eight technique that she calls it. Mm-hmm. What is it? The figure eight, where she goes like the guy's leaning his face down. He has his dick between his legs, right? Mm-hmm. So it's tucked down. So you're seeing the bottom of his dick. And his balls, right? And she's like starts at one point, like the left tip of the penis goes around the dick, licks the balls back around to the dick, and then she goes, "Well, oh, that's just like the toned down version." She told us yesterday. She goes, "I usually do the 88, where you include the anus."
Oh,
she goes, "I get in the ass and just really mix it up."
Wow.
Yeah. And she also said the video has 10 of her techniques. She has at least 50.
She really is an angel.
She is.
That is correct.
That is true. Truth.
Yo, we have to wrap this up, unfortunately. Will you come do the show again? This was a lot of fun.
Yeah, I'd love to. This was so much fun to talk about it. I never talked about it out loud, like on a podcast.
That's why.
Exclusive. Yeah, exactly.
But that's why I when you first told me that, I was like, will you please come do the podcast?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because I just find it so fascinating. And if you come down again, we can talk about it some more and a bunch of other stuff.
And I'll get updates. I'll talk to both of them.
Yes.
I'll be like, guys, I only got to tell half the story. Where's the good stuff?
You have to come tell us here.
Yeah.
Because now this audience knows who you are and knows the story, and they're going to want the follow-up. So please come back here to tell us.
Definitely.
Tony, what's your Twitter and your website and stuff?
It's at Tony Hinchcliffe. My last name's spelled sort of funky. It's a Hinchcliffe, H plus inch, cliff plus E.
Oh, okay.
Hinchcliffe, H plus the word inch, plus the word cliff, plus the letter E.
It's great.
That's a good way of explaining it.
Yeah, it is.
Tony's also he's a great stand-up comic, also a great writer, and you've been writing for The Burn, the Jeff Ross show that's a big hit for Comedy Central.
Yep.
They have a bunch of new shows, but I feel like a lot of them won't be around.
Right, yeah.
That is a good one.
Yeah, they're doing a lot of shows right now. It's an exciting time
it
for
is.
Comedy Central,
yeah. Yeah, yeah.
I help out with the roasts and stuff too.
That's awesome, man.
Yeah, it's great.
It's a lot of fun.
What is your? I've asked other writers from the roasts. Mm-hmm. If you were giving a tutorial on how to write roast jokes, mm-hmm. what would you tell somebody?
I would say that you have to be persistent and stay in the pocket. Right when you're about to give up, and you buckle down and you grab another cup of coffee or something, and you sit there right before. It's normally about 5 minutes after I was going to give up when you buckle down is when that gem comes out of nowhere and you're like, wow. And you get so excited. You're like, oh my God, does that even make sense? Like it.
Yeah.
And then you tell it to somebody and they're like, oh my God,
that's the joke.
Yeah. Wow. That's the joke. And you always know when you write it, what it's going to make it through editing. I always know right away.
Really?
Yeah. I always know the second that I see it. And that's why it's so exciting. Like when I draw the period, you know, at the end of the joke, it's like, oh my God, that's one of them.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
awesome,
it's very exciting. So it's like it's persistence. You know what I mean? Sometimes you can be writing about the same person. Like when I did Charlie Sheen, like I sat in Jeff's backyard, just me and Jeff Ross, every day for a few hours, knocking really? It out. Yeah.
And how many jokes did you come up with before something like that?
Well, a lot, but we're cracking each other up. So all together, probably like. Altogether, before we edited it down, probably 100 jokes.
Wow. Hmm.
Like a lot of jokes. And then only the very, very best stay in that.
Did you meet each other like at the store, like doing stand-up and stuff?
Me and Jeff Ross?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. Right when I was at the very, very, very bottom of the barrel. And I knew that I had a real knack for writing roast jokes.
Really?
Is when him and I hit it off and... We started working together, and we've been working together all the time. I open up for him on the road too.
That's great, man. Yeah, that's fantastic.
It's a lot of fun. So
he's a fun crowd, right? He's a fun fan base that comes out for him.
Right up my alley. I'm the luckiest guy in the world when it comes to that stuff.
That's cool.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. Very cool. Well, thanks for coming down, man.
Thanks for having
Tony,
me.
It was awesome.
So much fun.
Yeah, you don't meet many Tonys, by the way, anymore. It's a pretty old school name.
Yeah, like
especially it. Tony Hinchcliffe.
Love it.
What are you talking about? I only know Tony Marzo.
Oh.
So in honor of your father, here is our song to
about
go out
to
on.
Witness the strength of street knowledge.
Straight out of Compton, crazy motherfucker named Ice Cube. From the gang called Niggas with Attitudes. When I'm called off, I got a sawed off. Squeeze the trigger and bodies are hauled off. You two play if you fuck with me. The police are gonna have to come and get me. Off your ass, that's how I'm going out. For the punk motherfuckers that's showing out. Niggas fuck them up, they wanna rumble. Mix them and cook them in a pot like gumbo. Going off on the motherfucker like that. With a gat, that's pointed at your ass. So give it up smooth. Ain't no telling when I'm down for a jack move. Here's a murder rap to keep ya dancing. With a crime record like Charles Manson. AK-47 is a tool. Don't make me act a motherfucking fool. Me, you can go toe to toe, no mate. I'm knocking niggas out the box.
Another crazy ass nigga. My punks I smoke, yo, my rep gets bigger. I'm a bad motherfucker and you know this. But the pussy ass niggas won't show this. But I don't give a fuck, I'ma make my snaps. If not from the records, from jacking a crap. It's like burglary, the definition is jacking. But when illegally armed, it's gonna pack it. Shoot a motherfucker in a minute. I find a good piece of pussy and go up in it. So if you had a show in the front row, I'ma call you a bitch or a dirty ass hoe. You probably get mad like a bitch is supposed to. But that shows me sweat drunk and pose to a crazy motherfucker from the street. Attitude legit, cause I'm tearing up shit. And she ran controls are automatic. For any dumb motherfucker, it starts static. Battle right hand, cause I'm the hand itself. Every time I pull an AK off the shelf, the security is maximum, and that's a law. REN spells red, but I'm raw. See, cause I'm the motherfucking villain. The definition is clear, you're the witness of a killing that's taking place without a clue. And once you're on the scope, your ass is through. Look, it as a trip. But a nigga like Ren is on the gangster tip, straight out of Compton.